Hello, this is Mark from thewaybackmeditation.org. In this podcast, we're revisiting two videos that were recorded back in June 2016 on the subject of stress and anxiety, and in particular, overcoming stress and anxiety when it comes to decision making. Even if you're not normally prone to stress or anxiety, when there's a very important decision in your life, such as one that impacts on your careers, your health, or your family relationships, or any other kind of relationship, then these kinds of tough decisions quite often lead to stress and anxiety and worry. And so in this podcast, we look at ways from taking a more spiritual approach to making decisions with clarity, to moving beyond those spaces and those places where we experience stress. And in this podcast in particular, there's going to be a guided meditation where we actually go into the stillness and access answers to our questions from stillness, which is such a wonderful way of overcoming the difficulties of trying to answer questions from within our mind and our emotions, which are quite often pulling against each other. Because there is a guided meditation, then please, if you're driving a car right now or you're not really in a position where you can give your full attention and close your eyes, then we recommend pausing for now and coming back to this when the time is more suitable.
I've had this thing bouncing around my head for a few days, and it's kind of sparked off by a question that I was asked a long time ago, and it keeps coming up in different guises. People ask very similar questions, and the question goes something like this: how can I use meditation to help me make better decisions, or to help me make a decision? And this is really big, actually, because this is something that, irrespective of meditation, this is something that really impacts on people's lives and can kind of create a lot of stress, is when you've got a tough decision to make. You know, it might be, I mean, the original story, or the original case, was many, many years ago, and it was a very good friend, and he had been working for a company for quite a few years on a contract, and his contract was due for renewal, and he was going to get the renewal, so it wasn't like he was losing his job. But around about the same time, he was offered a really good deal with another company, and he just didn't know which way to go, and he had a young family to consider and other things. And it was tearing him apart. He was literally not sleeping. He was getting kind of all the kind of things you get when you get nervous, upset stomach and things like this. So it was starting to really physically affect him as well, the stress of trying to make this decision. And he just didn't know which way to go. And I did a really simple kind of guided meditation with him. Literally straight after, he said, "It's just resolved everything." Now, I didn't tell him what decision to make. All I did was I helped him create enough inner space, inner stillness, to really see the two options clearly. And as he put it, he said, "It's obvious what I've got to do." And it wasn't necessarily what I thought he was going to do, which is really, really nice, because I wasn't leaning him in any one way or the other. He came to the decision for himself. And, you know, whenever you want to help someone, never give them advice. Never tell them what they should do, even if it's obvious. It only has value if they kind of come to the conclusion themselves. So kind of the best advice you can give people is actually this kind of thing, where you say, "Well, look, I'm not going to tell you what you should do, but I'm going to share with you approaches that can make it easier for you to make your own mind up." So before we jump straight in and I kind of explain what I did with him, I want to kind of really paint the full picture of why I'd even be discussing this in the context of meditation, because this is really about the mind. So this isn't specifically meditation, but this is a really nice way where the meditative state and the stillness and all the benefits that come from meditation can actually just help in a really practical way in everyday life. So when you've got a choice to make, irrespective of the content, it's about anticipation, it's about the future. It's also about how you feel in relation to the outcomes, because most decisions are actually feeling based. Very, very few times do we actually make a decision purely on logic. That's quite easy, actually. When it comes down to logic, you know, you can weigh things up and you can go, "I go this way or this way." But a lot of the time we don't have all the information anyway, so there'll be holes in the logic. So it actually comes down to how do you feel, and wanting to feel better as a result of the decision that we've got to make. Now, in particular, I'm referring here to a choice. Should I do this or should I do this? Should I stay with this person? Should I leave this person? That's a classic one that always comes up. Should I relocate or stay where I am? These kind of big life decisions. And as I said, I'm never going to tell someone what they should do. But what I like to try and do is to help people come to the most comfortable decision for themselves, because they have to live with it. So if they're comfortable in the decision they've made, they will live with it easier. Let's paint the picture. We all have a mind and we have our thoughts, and that's where we do all the logic-y stuff, and that's also where we create all the tension and all the anxiety and things like this. Because anxiety is just thinking about the future. What ifs? What if I make the wrong choice? This is one of the big things. People aren't so much worried about making a decision. They're worried about regretting their decisions. What if I make a mistake? What if I leave him and it's a mistake? What if I stay with them and it's a mistake? What if I take this job and the other one would have been better? What if I move and I miss out on an opportunity that I would have had if I stayed here? It's all this thing. Really, it's almost like people want to be able to read the future. But the mind can't do that. So the decision-making process is going to be fundamentally based on what we've got access to. So it's going to be based on your thoughts, your emotions, and your physical presence. These things aren't really that well equipped. And there's lots of cycles that go on. So what if builds up in your mind until you create stress and tension. Because the answer is it's all anticipation. It's all we don't really know, but we're guessing. And depending on your nature and your experience in life, you may well just be projecting a whole load of negative scenarios that are not healthy and not helping. And that's where people can really wind themselves up with trying to make a decision. So starting with this picture, how can meditation help? Well, when you first start meditating, there's forms of meditation that allow you to explore and become more aware of what you already have access to. And we'll call those the lower vehicles. And then there's much higher kind of advanced light and sound meditation, which is much more of a spiritual progression towards and ultimately realizing enlightenment. And that side of things is much further beyond kind of the realms of personality. And although it supports all of this, it's not really the domain of where we make choices. So where we make choices is very much about the lower vehicles, within the lower vehicles. Because as you move up the levels of consciousness, opposites get reconciled naturally, because you're ultimately entering into states and states of purer, purer love and purer, purer stillness. So there's less choice because there's less things. This is the simplest way of putting it. So the choices we've got to make are down here, and that's where a lot of the benefits from meditation can be applied, because this is where most of the tension is, and this is where most of the duality is and most of the differences. So as you start to meditate, what you're going to start to realize, and if you're already meditating, great, because you've already got a head start on this, is that as well as your emotions and your thoughts, there's also stillness. And basically, it's not that you stop your thoughts or anything, but it's that you start to build an identity and an awareness, kind of like being centered within your inner stillness. And when you've got decisions to make and you start to get stressed and you start to wind yourself up, this is because you're chasing every thought that comes through. And in meditation, what you can start to do is you can start to step back from all of that and remain more centered in the stillness. And this has a number of advantages to helping you make good decisions, because number one, it gives you some detachment from your emotional response. And your emotional response is a perfectly fantastic thing. It's part of being a human being, but it can also just lead you off in all kinds of directions and make you very reactive. Good decision making generally is less emotional and more neutral. Almost like you're not making a decision for you, but you're making a decision for someone that you care about. And it's that sense of detachment from the, I kind of got the idea of emotions being like wind and they blow you around, and it's very hard to actually just stand still and look at the situation clearly when you're being moved around all the time. So as you step back into your kind of inner stillness, you still have emotions, but you don't get had by them as much. And so it's almost like you have more freedom to choose to respond emotionally or to just let it go and not be touched by it. And so that gives you that space, that stillness to make better decisions, because you're not being pushed around by your emotions so much. And similarly, this inner stillness allows you to step back a little bit from your thoughts. So effectively, you're more centered in the space between the thoughts and around the thoughts. And that allows you to have a bit more clarity on what you're thinking. Because when you're really in your mind, it's a bit like having your face right up against the screen. You forget you exist and you just get hypnotized by all these thoughts or by the, whatever you're projecting. So stepping back, it's like, oh, hang on a second. These are just thoughts. I don't have to think every single one of them, and I don't have to follow each one to its conclusion, and I don't have to let that thought trigger the next thought and the next one and get caught up in that kind of down the rabbit hole experience of just forever falling, following thoughts. What I'm really talking about here is by being more centered in stillness, you can still have the thoughts and still have the emotions, but it's almost like you're more of a witness to them. So you're not being led by them, you stand firm and you can go, okay, I understand why I think that, I understand why I'm feeling that. But with this sense of detachment, I can now make better decisions because I'm not being led. I have the time to observe. So that's the kind of first level of how meditation can really, really help with making better decisions. Okay, so the second kind of tier of this, and this is stuff you've got access to, but it's very hard to access if you're not practiced. You have a physical body. There's this thing called an etheric web. Beyond that, you have your mind, and that's where you do your everyday thinking. And here's where it gets really interesting. Above that, and the word above really is, it's not kind of a vertical thing, but in terms of vibration, a faster vibration is the intuitive plane. And this definitely is not your intuitive plane versus someone else's. This is just the intuitive plane that we all have access to. And whereas your mind comes to a conclusion based on logic, if I do this, then I'll get that and then that, and that's good, and that'll make me feel good, that's great. The intuitive plane is so fast compared to the mind, and it's a kind of a single consciousness. So a fact is a fact. It's not someone's version of a fact or someone else's version of fact. It just is, which means it's consistent. So accessing the intuitive level of consciousness means that you can literally get information like that very quick. But basically what it means is if you can access the intuitive, then you can have an inquiry like, is this good for me? And you get, boom, straight away, you get the information, yes or no. Now, that comes with practice. And the best way of learning to access the intuitive is to do something like a mantra or breath meditation. And when you get still, and again, I actually touched on this in another video about how to finish a meditate. At that point, at the end of a meditate, when you're really, really still, but you've stopped doing the actual meditation that you were doing, like breathing or mantra or mandala, when you're just sitting in the stillness, that's a time when you can kind of just have an inquiry into something and get a very intuitive answer back. Because as you get stiller and stiller and stiller, you're less present in your mind, you're less present in your emotions, and you're certainly less present in your body, and therefore your connection to the intuitive principle is easier to leverage. And the more you use it and the more you have the intention to connect with your intuitive, then the stronger it gets. And some people are naturally intuitive and other people can work on it. What you get back is very, very pure, because like I said, it's not coloured by personalities. So to use an analogy, if there was a big, big room and in the middle of that room is, I don't know, an elephant, and there's different people in the room. At one end, someone's got hold of the trunk, and what they're describing is, well, it's a bit like a snake and it's flexible. And at the other end, someone's got hold of a tail, but it's quite a dark room, so they can't see what the other person can see. So they're describing something, and it's like, well, it's quite thin and there's a bit of a bushy bit on the end of it. And someone in one of the corners has got hold of a leg, and he's describing something that's very thick and heavy and doesn't move because it's heavy. They're all describing an elephant, but they're only describing the bit they have access to. So this would be like the mind. One person's describing a leg, one person's describing a trunk, and one person's describing a tail. That would be like the mental level of understanding things. You can only understand the bit that you've got access to. The intuitive would be like asking the question, what is this? And having the whole elephant revealed to you in its entirety instantaneously, so you just know what the elephant is. So you can understand how that might really help with asking a question like, is this good for me, or should I do this, or should I do that? and getting a very kind of pure communication back from what is really a part of you, which is this higher part of you. So that's the kind of second way that you can really start to use meditation to help resolve difficult situations, difficult questions. Beyond the lower levels, and when you move into the higher levels, it's all you, because ultimately what you're hopefully progressing towards, if you're on a spiritual journey, is realizing that there's just one thing everywhere, and that is you. Within these graduations of energy, where each level is faster and simpler and purer than the one before, there is intelligence. In the same way that there's intelligence down here, you know, you have different kingdoms, of animal kingdom and vegetable kingdom, and it's like, well, plants have a basic form of reactive intelligence. And there's experiments to show that they can even recognize people when they walk into a garden. But it's very basic stuff. And then you have the animal kingdom, and there's more intelligence. And then you have that kind of the human being paradigm, I guess is the best way of putting it, that has more intelligence gain. And then there's other species on the planet, elephants, whales, dolphins, that are extremely intelligent. And then as you start to explore higher levels of consciousness, you can explore other kind of ways of intelligence that's all you, but not the kind of intelligence you'd associate with your mind. And that's why it's really hard to explain. So it's something you have to experience for yourself. But the great thing is that if you sit in stillness and you have access to these higher levels, then you can bring this intelligence or this information down. And so when people talk about channeling or receiving inspiration or guidance, what they're really referring to is them tuning in to these much higher intelligences and being able to bring that transmission down into these vehicles, you know, their mind and their body and stuff, so that they can actually communicate it. First, they have to communicate it with themselves, and then they can communicate it with other people. And here's the amazing thing is we all have access to this already. So we've got ideas like, you know, the classic is, oh, you know, the myth of the angel sitting on your shoulder whispering encouragement. Well, you do actually have these beautiful principles of intelligence, which are a part of what makes you a human being at this time. So people talk about their things like their conscience as if it's a separate entity. And in a way, you could think of it that it is. And it's always there. It's a part of you. But it's an intelligence, because that energy expression that is, let's put a label on it, your conscience, is pretty consistent. It's amazing how you can't really question your conscience. You can ignore it, but you can't change it. Your conscience always seems to know what's right. And when people turn their back on it, that's when, you know, things go out of balance. So another kind of factor in meditation is just learning how to listen to those aspects of you that are trying to guide you. I'm smiling again because there's so much more about this. I'll go into it in another video sometime, but it's way too big for the scope of this. But if I just say that we're born into this world and it's almost like we forget our true nature, and that's actually the way it's meant to be, because we come in and we're going to learn life lessons and we're going to kind of have experiences, and that's the way it's meant to be. But we do have this inner intelligence that's always there, and I'm going to call it our guiding conscience. And it's there whispering away all the time. And all you have to do is start to listen to it, because just like meditation, starting to learn to be in stillness creates more of a connection with your stillness so that you can come more from your stillness. In the same way, learning to listen to your conscience. And by the way, there is no judgment here. I'm not saying you should be like this or you should be like that. That's nonsense. What I'm saying is, listen to your own guidance. A lot of the time when people are asking for help, it's because they don't know how to listen to their own inner guidance system, if you like. So they're looking for someone else to help them, whether that's just a friend, look, I want to tell you my problems and you're going to help me understand my choices. What's more empowering is saying you've already got all the keys to unlock all the things that you need. And it starts by going inside and becoming stiller, opening your heart and, you know, listening to your own guiding light, listening to your own guiding intelligence. When I've talked about opening the heart, this is kind of like the big, big picture. Ultimately, when people have a choice to make, and I say this genuinely, because I've experienced this firsthand, and this is a good example of kind of like bringing down intelligence to help myself and hopefully to help others, is that the answer is what matters is that you are as much as you can coming from your heart. Because if you take love as the guiding principle, then actually most choices dissolve away, because a lot of choices and the tensions that they create are because we're detached. And I've talked about this, that we're detached from our stillness, we're detached from X, Y, and Z. And therefore, we don't have a strong sense of direction. So we end up chasing things like, well, material possession or achievement or pleasing other people or all these things, or what do other people think I should do? What would make me be validated by other people? When you come from love, it's not just about loving other people and serving other people. It always starts with yourself. So what can I do to bring more love into my life? And then that will manifest in how I am with other people, how other people are with me, my relationships with the world, my relationships with myself, my relationships with other people. And when you make love the core principle, and that includes so exploring it and sitting within it, within meditation, but also embracing it as a philosophy and a way of life and a way of thinking and all of these things, because it's like, let's be holistic about this. Then suddenly it really starts to dissolve things, because when you sit much more in that, you go, ah, forgive myself. I don't need to pursue this. I understand why I was looking at it this way. But all those pressures and tensions go when I just sit in love, because I just want what's best genuinely for me. I'm not striving. And so the simple answer is, really, it doesn't matter what you choose, so long as you're aiming for the highest ideal of love that you can express. And, you know, it's like with that as your guiding light or your guiding principle, things become so much easier. So how do you use meditation to make it easier to kind of deal with the hard decisions in life? Simple answer is meditate to connect with your inner stillness, so that you're less swayed by your mind and your emotions, which makes it easier for you to tune into your intuition, to tune into your guiding consciousness, your conscience, and to allow your heart to open, so that you're really following a path of love, which doesn't need anything other than really itself. And then it doesn't really matter so much what you choose, because I don't know a single person on the planet that when their heart is open and they're in love with life, that they don't feel good no matter what, that they don't benefit. Because actually, there is no such thing as a right choice. It's just a choice that will change your environment. And if you're a happy person, you can move a happy person into a different environment and they'll still be happy, because their happiness is coming from inside. If you're not happy and basically in inner love, then no matter what environment you choose, you're just taking your imbalances and your blocks and your problems and your negativity into a new environment and expecting that environment to suddenly magically change everything. So it always does come back to coming from the heart, being very gentle with yourself and loving yourself, and kind of using that as a guiding principle. This, what I'm going to do with you now is I'm going to introduce a guided meditation that you can do when you've got to resolve a difficult decision. I get asked a lot by people, and this over the years, this is one of the kind of most popular subjects that comes up, is how can I make better decisions? How can I use my meditation to help me? And I'm all for people benefiting as much as possible from their connection to their inner stillness. What I'm going to do is help you to create an environment within yourself that makes it easier to just understand the choices and hopefully make the choice that's going to be most useful to you at this time clearer. So what's going to happen now is I'm going to guide you on a little guided meditation. I'm going to simply ask you to sit comfortably and we'll begin.
So as you listen to my voice and as you hear this recording, then all you have to do is close your eyes and simply listen. Now, you've got two choices. And we're going to call them option one and option two. But for now, all you need to do
is to know automatically which one's option one and which one's option two. It doesn't really matter what the order is. So now you've given one option the first slot and the other option the second slot, then we can simply let go and begin. So with your eyes closed, I want you to just take a moment to notice how comfortable you are wherever you're sitting or lying right now. And it's okay to move and it's okay to adjust to allow yourself to become even more comfortable. And taking a deep breath all the way in through your nose and deep into your body, breathing all the way down into your belly. And as you breathe in, you're breathing in fresh energy that allows you to become more balanced and more neutral. Taking that energy and that breath all the way down into the base of your body. And when you breathe out, you're breathing out through your nose, simply letting go, allowing that breath to move all the way out from the base of your body, all the way up and out through your nose. So as you take another deep, slow breath, allow your attention to follow that breath as it enters the body and moves all the way down. And when you breathe out, notice what it's like to simply let go. And as you continue to breathe in and breathe out in this way, then we can just take a moment to notice your body. Starting at your feet, allow your feet to relax even more and allow that feeling of relaxation to move up past the ankles and into the legs, past the knees and the thighs and through the hips and into the body. And allow the body to relax even more. Notice your front, your sides and your back. Relaxing and letting go. Your shoulders and your arms. Your wrists and your hands, all relaxing. And as you take another deeper breath, then you can allow your neck and your throat and your head to relax, and your face and your mouth and your eyes and your cheeks all soften, and your brow relaxes. And as you continue to breathe in and out through the nose and deep into the body, then you can just find that place that's still on the inside, wherever that is, and just be. I want you to remember option one and just hold it there. And in a minute, when I say, you're going to imagine that you've already made option one your choice. And it's in the past, now. And I want you to notice what it feels like having made option one. And notice what else you notice. Notice what your life is like. Notice how you think. Notice what's there. And just simply observe from this place on the inside what it's like having made option one. And breathe in and breathe out. And notice whatever else you notice about what it's like having made option one. And notice whatever you notice. Now, taking a deep breath. I want you to just simply remember the last time you had a meal. Remember what you ate and remember where you were. Remember what it tasted like. And remember all the other things that come with that. And take another deep breath, breathing in through the nose and deep into the base of your body. And as you breathe out, simply let go. Bring to mind option two and just hold it for a moment. And now notice what it feels like to have made option two. So that option two is in the past, and notice how you feel. Notice how you think, and notice all the other things that come with having made option two. Allow yourself to fully explore this new way of being, having made option two, and notice what that's like. And take a deep breath, and as you breathe out, simply let go. Let go. Keeping your eyes closed, bring your attention back to your body. Notice your body, how it's supported, whether you're lying down or in a chair. Just notice what you feel. Notice where the stillest part of your body is, and also notice whether the left-hand side feels different from the right-hand side. And now bring your attention back into the present moment. Because right now is right now. And you have two options. Option one and option two. And as you breathe in and breathe out, then I want you to notice how you feel as we take away option one, so that all you have is option two. And notice what that feels like. And now take another deep breath and notice how your body's supported. Notice whatever you notice as you let go. And now notice how you feel as we take away option two, so that the only option you have is option one. And notice what that feels like. And again, bring your attention back to your body and notice how you're supported. And taking another deep breath all the way down into the base of your body. And as you breathe out, relax. Even more, because that part of you that's always still is always still here, whether you take option one or option two. That part of you that knows how to breathe in and breathe out is always there, because a choice is just a choice. So as you breathe in and breathe out, then you can notice more of that part of you that is always there and always supporting you, no matter what choices you make. And when you're ready, you can begin to bring your attention back into the here and now, knowing that a choice is just a choice, and that you can use this exercise to explore any choices. And that as you breathe in and breathe out, and as you become stiller on the inside, then you can see that it's easier to have more clarity. And you can feel that there's the space that you need in order to make the decision. And that a choice is just a choice. And you can relax a little bit more. And in your own time, and when you feel ready, then you can bring your attention fully back into the room, so that in the next few moments, you can open your eyes. Now.
Okay, so you've experienced this guided meditation, and whatever you kind of experience this particular time is this particular time. Feel free to use this again in the future. This meditation was very much about how to make a kind of a binary decision, yes or no, or this one or this one. Obviously, in life, there's other types of decision. So I'm not saying that this is the right way of approaching all of them. This is just a way. And hopefully it gives you some insight into, you know, making decisions and using meditation in a way that can help you in a practical way in everyday life.
So we hope you found this helpful. We hope you found this useful. And if you know anyone else that would benefit from this kind of approach, then please feel free to share this podcast with them. On our website, which is thewaybackmeditation.org, you'll find lots more resources, including helping with issues of stress and anxiety. But also, if you'd like to take your exploration into more spiritual realms, then you'll find lots of guided meditations, articles, tutorials, free downloads, and an entire free online meditation course. Thank you for taking the time to listen, and thank you for your support.